It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era to the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is, it's gonna get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
All right, well, welcome to the Wrestling Nostalgia episode of the WWE Podcast. And a really fun match tonight, one that I haven't thought about in a long time. And really one that I think we ought to talk about a little bit more. And that is Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 31, their very first encounter upon Brock Lesnar's return that actually happened back in 2012. And he initially went after John Cena. And, you know, I was thinking about tonight's topic, and I was going to do that moment when Brock Lesnar returned. But I just don't think it had a lot of juice to squeeze out of it. Yes, it was a fun moment. I was going to break it down with the commentary by Michael Cole that I think actually ruined that moment, believe it or not. As much flack as we give Michael Cole at times, and he's never Jim Ross, and he's never going to be Jim Ross. I think he has been good to very good, and he has missed when he's not on commentary. And, you know, you may not enjoy the boss time that he always has to say, or the big dog. Thank God he's been repackaged into the tribal chief. I'm all for that. So before I criticize Michael Cole, he does have his moments, and he steers a ship that is not easy to steer. That said, the moment in 2012 where Rock returned and Michael Cole was commentating, and Brock Lesnar returns, and you'll hear Michael Cole say, "Oh my, that's all you've got to say?" I mean, this is Brock effing Lesnar, and all you've got to say is, "Oh my." I mean, he might as well have said, "Oh my word." It's such a weak thing to say. He couldn't have even said, like, "Oh my God." Even just adding "God" would have helped. And it was very weak in his reaction to Brock Lesnar's return. If you don't believe me and you want to rehash that moment, go listen to it. I mean, I just don't think Michael Cole was an addition. I think he was a subtraction to that moment where Brock returned for the first time in 8 years. He had left in 2004, returned in 2012. But we're here to talk about not that moment, even though we just did, but we're here to talk about, again, WrestleMania 31, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns for the very first time, and we're going to get to all of that, breaking it down with the audio, setting things up, setting the stage, so to speak, of how these two came to be, and the fan reaction, which was as interesting as the match itself, towards Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar that night. Just so much passion from the fans, so much resistance from the fans. It really, that night was the fans versus Vince. That was truly the match that night. Yes, Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns were the stand-in representatives of each party, that being the fans versus Vince. And Brock represented the fans, and I think Roman Reigns represented Vince, which I think happened very often during Roman Reigns' babyface run. So, we're going to get to breaking all of that down in just a minute. First, I want to welcome you here to the WWE Podcast as we pump out 9 shows a week. 9, and that's really due in large part to our great hosting team here, with Michael Ritter covering SmackDown every single Saturday. That's usually up early Saturday morning. We have Mimi Burris, who covers AEW Review, covers every show that they do, as well as the highs and lows of the week. And we have Anthony DeMarco doing WWE Rivalries, dropping every single Friday. We have Zach Smith doing NXT, covering the shows that they do. And, of course, yours truly, that covers Raw, covers the Week in Review, usually with a co-host, although not as of late because of my own personal schedule, the Mailbag, and you're listening to the Wrestling Nostalgia Show right now. So that is your nine shows that we do every single week. And this week, it is a pay-per-view week, which means it's a busy week here on the WWE podcast team, and we'll be covering the show wall to wall. You can follow us on Twitter at @wrestling_audio. If you want to watch my live tweets throughout the show, get my instant take on what's going on and my opinions on the outcomes of matches, the storylines going on, really my just in real time feedback and reaction to moments. So you can follow there, @wrestling_audio. Or if you'd like to email us, you can also get in touch with the show at realwwpodcast@gmail.com. We also have Instagram at @wwe_podcast. By the way, I'm also still, believe it or not, trying to resurrect my my old Twitter account, the WWE Podcast Twitter account. I keep filing appeals with Twitter, hoping that one day they'll just go, you know what? Damn it, this guy's so persistent. Let's just give it back to him. So we will see. I have my doubts, but I'm trying desperately to get my old Twitter account back. Until that time, I hope you'll keep my secret and follow me there at @wrestling_audio. Also, if you want an ad-free experience, you're tired of these ads on the show, easy way to get rid of them. For $1 a month, you get all of our shows completely ad-free at Patreon. Download the app and search for the WWE podcast, and you get every show we do ad-free. So, pretty simple, and I think it's a damn good experience. I do the same thing for some shows that I'm just like, you know, I'm just tired of the ads. We all know the big ones, right? And they just have ads, it seems like, every 5-6 minutes. I try to stretch my ads out every 11 minutes now because I know that it seems to be a spot that I think you guys can tolerate, and myself too. I mean, I'm trying to monetize my show, but at the same time, I understand it interrupts listening experiences. So there's a sweet spot. I'm trying to find it. And I know for some of you that you're probably saying, that sweet spot is no ads. Well, I kind of make a living off this, right? So that's not going to happen. But if you want to just, if you want to get on board with no ads, $1 a month over at Patreon. So one other thing is, believe it or not, guys, yes, it's St. Patrick's Day, but it's also kind of like the 1-year anniversary of the lockdown, right? So whatever that means to you, I mean, I know I was brought home from work a year ago today. I don't know if maybe you're in the same boat, or maybe you're an essential worker, or you're a frontline worker, and you nothing's really changed. But today really marks that 1-year time, at least for me, of being brought home and thinking it was only going to last a couple weeks. And boy, a couple weeks turned into a year, and we'll see how long this lasts. I got to say, being home is got its ups and downs, but I'm kind of used to it. So going back to work, getting dressed and getting up early, none of that really appeals to me. So anyway, all right, let's get into the topic at hand here. Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar. This is WrestleMania 31. And let's, as I always do when I pull a match off of a pay-per-view card, I do want to really give you guys the lay of the land and let you know what other matches are happening on this card so you kind of get a feel for where we're at. And if you haven't seen the pay-per-view, or you have, and it reminds you of exactly where things stand. So here is the card that WrestleMania 31 contained. The first match up is Tyson Kidd and Cesaro defeating Los Matadores in a fatal four-way tag team match for the WWE Tag Team Championship that lasted just under 10 minutes. The Big Show won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal by last eliminating Damian Mizdow in 18 minutes. Daniel Bryan defeated Bad News Barrett in a ladder match for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. Barrett was the champion at the time. Of course, the other contenders, Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, Luke Harper, R-Truth, and Stardust. Randy Orton defeated Seth Rollins in a singles match for really just a straight-up singles match in 13 minutes in one of the worst booking decisions ever at WrestleMania. Triple H defeats Sting in a no-disqualification match in, of course, the longest match of the entire night, 18 minutes. And AJ Lee and Paige defeat the Bella Twins by submission in a tag team match. Weren't they called, didn't they call themselves like the Sorority Sisters or the Submission Sisters or something? And that had a bit of a risque connotation that they had to get rid of, if I'm not mistaken. John Cena defeats Rusev for the WWE United States Championship, really the turning point of Rusev's career when you look back. I mean, he was on a skyrocket upward trajectory until he met John Cena, who buzzsawed his career in half. I mean, you really could point to this moment. Undertaker defeats Bray Wyatt in a singles match in 15 minutes. Boy, too bad the Fiend wasn't around then, huh? It was just good old swamp cult leader Bray Wyatt. Seth Rollins defeats Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns in a triple threat match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship in 16 minutes. Yeah, I think we all know what happened there and why it's a triple threat. We'll get to that and all the lovely audio in just a minute. But one thing is, I noticed the Big Show on here. Guys, Chris Jericho, I don't normally promote other podcasts that are in our same category. But Big Show, if you haven't listened to his audio on Chris Jericho's podcast, it's a must listen. You have to take a listen to the Big Show on Jericho's podcast. It is very telling and continues to confirm about Big Show or the WWE culture. Doesn't matter if you're a legend, somebody that has been in the business for 20 years or more, 30 years, it seems as if nobody's above the environment that is WWE. Now, it's not all bad, but it continues to, as stars leave WWE and go to AEW or just do their own thing, it seems as if there is a trend, a continuing trend of and confirmation and consistency of what the WWE environment is and how it treats its stars and treats its legends, treats its current stars, what their agenda is. And I'd really, really recommend you check out The Big Show on Chris Jericho's podcast. I haven't listened to all of it yet, but it's very, very telling, and it's exactly what you think it would be. But he doesn't bury Vince. He doesn't bury WWE, and he says he's not bitter, but it's just a great listen. So go check that out. Okay, so let's take a bit of a step back from WrestleMania, and let's think about how we got to Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar in this WrestleMania main event. And Roman Reigns wins the Rumble in Philadelphia in 2015. One of the most beautiful moments, as I always say, where the Philadelphia crowd buries Roman Reigns, The Rock can't even save him. It's beautiful. And then we get this this setup where it's going to be a collision course. It's Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. We know this going in. The Monday Night Raw, if you recall, after that Rumble in Philadelphia, was the snowed-in Raw, where it was the sit-down interview with Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman by his side. And it was probably the best promo that Roman has had at that point to date. Now, of course, since then, he's blown it out of the water with his heel character. But to that date, it was probably the best environment, promo environment that he thrived in. Kind of that quiet, sit down and tell it like it is style. Notice the similarities. In today's, it's kind of the quiet but heel version of himself now. So that's where he thrived back then and continues to thrive now, is the quiet promo, just speaking from his head. And since then, of course, the promos went downhill with the tater tots and, you know, whatever else he threw at us, which were just awful writing for him. And, you know, I do recall being very angry that the snow had to really put a damper on what I wanted to hear from that crowd that night. I really wanted to hear what the crowd was going to be like when they brought back out Roman Reigns instead of getting just a complete stroke of luck from the universe that WWE didn't have to put on a show that night and the fans could just simmer and stew in their own anger and didn't have a chance to continue to show WWE that they made the wrong choice. So I will always be a supporter of the Philadelphia crowd that night, and I will always stand by my guns that WWE got super lucky that Raw got snowed in. I will just say that. So, again, we know the collision course we're on. We understand the main event of WrestleMania, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, and we are all under the assumption, including yours truly, that Roman Reigns is likely going to beat Brock Lesnar. He's going to become champion, and we're all going to just kind of bear and groan through his babyface run that Vince is really the only one that is excited to see. And the problem with that was, though, what threw a really big monkey wrench into this was the breaking news beforehand of Brock Lesnar. I believe it was on ESPN. I was actually a call-in on one of the major podcasts. I think you guys could probably name it. I was a caller, and I was on the line with I'll just say it. I was on the line with Wade Keller at the time. I was the caller with him and Jason Powell. And while I was on the phone with them as a caller reacting or whatever, calling in about WrestleMania, they got the breaking news that Brock Lesnar had re-signed with WWE for a multi-year deal. So with that breaking news, as I was talking with them, that kind of changed the landscape of the possible outcome of that match, because now you're thinking, well, if Brock's not leaving, could Brock retain? You're thinking, why would he drop the belt to Roman now or at least there's a solid chance he wouldn't, given Brock has now signed another deal? And lo and behold, obviously, we don't get either Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar winning that match. We all know what happened with the cash-in. But let's just take a listen to some of this audio. And then I've got some comments that I want to make that actually aren't in relation to this particular match, but it is perfect. It's a perfect analysis of how WWE, throughout Roman Reigns' babyface career, that ultimately I think was a failure at least getting the fans to react appropriately, or getting them to react the way that they're trying to get them to react by design. So I do really want to give you guys some a quote, and I will give credit to the person that had this quote, but let's take a listen first to some of that audio from that match between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. Let's listen to the entrances and listen to the reaction for each man respectively.
Thank you.
So there you have it. I think very clear who the babyface and who the heel is in this match. I mean, it's not even up for debate of who exactly the fans are behind here. And I will say this, and this is where I'm going to give credit where credit's due. Do you guys remember WrestleMania 33? I know that we're talking about a different one. Undertaker versus Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns beats Undertaker. People believe that it might be Undertaker's final match. That intensifies the heat for Roman. Not that the streak is anything anymore. But what I want to bring to your attention, remember the Monday Night Raw after, when Roman Reigns got, for 13 minutes, completely destroyed by the fans. I mean, it was just a shellacking that I don't think I've ever seen, but it was the most beautiful thing that I've ever seen. It was almost as if the frustration of fans came to a head. And this was the fans' opportunity to give Vince McMahon a direct message. They're so big on sending messages and making statements. Well, WWE fans gave Vince that night. And the reason I'm bringing up 33 up is because it was the same reaction for Roman at 31. But here's where I want to give credit to, and none other than Wade Keller on his analysis of this. And this is what he said regarding WWE's whole trying to, I guess, mask or redirect the message that fans are sending by kind of warping it to the fans at home as to exactly what's going on. And here's what he said, because this is where Cole talked about Roman Reigns being booed, because there's a lot of speculation that since last night, the Undertaker's match of 33 will be his last. If that's the case, we say thank you, in my mind, to the greatest performer in the history of WWE. It's been an honor and fabulous part of my career. Okay, but here's where Wade Keller comes in. He says, so if is Vince McMahon going to coo the booing of Roman Reigns and say it's because Reigns retired the Undertaker rather than the fans just don't like the guy and never have? That's very true. The biggest thing that I want to say, and this is what I love about, this is the best way that you could put how the fans felt and how WWE tries to manipulate those at home watching about why the people are booing the baby faces. Why are they booing the guys that we're trying to tell you you're supposed to like? Here's something, right? So after they go to the announcers during this segment, the 13 minutes of destroying Roman Reigns, here is what pisses me off the most about WWE. And they do this almost every single Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania. They said, this is from Cole, this is an electric atmosphere. And said that fans from all over, non-traditional WWE fans, impassioned as ever. Saxton said, fans are willing to exercise their right to express themselves. Graves said, they might cheer people they normally boo and boo people they normally cheer. It's all in the name of fun. First of all, can they define what a traditional fan is? Is there such thing as a traditional fan? What's a traditional fan? Those that go along with your narrative? Well, what about free expression? If they're free to express themselves, who are you to tell me that I'm just having fun doing it rather than genuinely telling you my feelings for the product? It's not in the name of fun. That's in the name of expressing myself in anger or pleasure or whatever I feel. Don't put words in my mouth. But this is exactly what Wade Keller said. Oh, this is beautiful. That's the type of thing that pisses off the fans. When their genuine dissatisfaction with the product is reframed by Vince McMahon's propaganda machine as, quote, just part of all the fun, and writing them off as this bizarro counterculture minority who speak up once a year. It's not that reaction for Roman is the opposite of usual. It's just more intense, which is expected coming the day after he beat and retired The Undertaker. And if the fans are booing those who they normally cheer, why wasn't Undertaker booed at the beginning? Nice try, Vince, but nobody's buying that spin. It's a great way to frame it. It's exactly the way that they try to own those fans that are at WrestleMania the night after and during WrestleMania as the non-traditional fans, which I'm sure at 33, they also 31 with Brock Lesnar, they also tried to frame them as such. So I just want to give you that take, because every year, almost as clock, like clockwork, they bring out that explanation of they boo people they normally cheer and cheer people they normally boo. They're non-traditional. It's a bunch of nonsense. It's their own failure. It's WWE's own failure of being able to create true babyfaces and true heels that get people to boo or cheer the way they want them to based on the story they're telling. It's their own inadequacies that WWE is trying to mask by pointing at the fans and saying, nah, they're just doing this in fun, right? I don't think so. People don't pay hundreds of dollars, especially maybe thousands for tickets at WrestleMania, or hundreds of dollars, maybe even thousands at the Monday Night Raw after, to just have fun and just, well, we're just going to do whatever, right? We're just going to boo people that we normally wouldn't because it's cool. We're going to cheer people we normally wouldn't because it's cool. But hell, that was totally worth my few hundred instead of, you know, actually telling the company exactly how I feel, which is it's a whole bunch of crap. It would be the equivalent of you buy a Super Bowl ticket, you spend a boatload of money on it, and you go and just feel it'd be cool to kind of cheer for the team you don't want to win and boo the team that you're a fan of. How many people do you think actually do that? The answer is zero, right? Unless you're inebriated. I mean, literally, just like drunk out of your mind. More than likely, you wouldn't spend your life savings on a ticket just to go and, quote, have fun. It's a bunch of nonsense. I hope nobody out there actually buys it, but WWE continues to try to put a spin on covering their own ass for their inability to create compelling stories and characters that actually align with the role that they're in. It's as simple as that. And that it's a perfect way that Wade, credit to him, of putting it. That might be the best paragraph I've ever read about how to sum up that whole feeling that we get Monday Night Raw after Mania, about that we're some kind of bizarro counterculture minority who speak up once a year. It's a bunch of crap. And those are the fans, by the way, that actually spending all that money, that are the ones who are also probably spending money on your merchandise, who probably have kids that are spending, you know, they're spending money on their kids. They have the network. They're the ones that probably have podcasts like myself, who are out there voicing their opinions, and they try to minimize their voices because it doesn't align with their narrative, and they try to spin it in a different way to the people at home and their sponsors by covering it. It's just such a farce. So anyway, back to this match, guys. This was, by the way, an extremely physical match. More than I remember watching it back again. I mean, I'm talking shots being laid in. I mean, not to the point of, like, you know, you're in an octagon with Brock. But, man, some of these shots that they give one another are tough. I mean, they are... It might knock out a normal man. And it would certainly leave a lot of us bruised and battered, even though it's just, quote, play fighting, as some people would say. At the same time, we get Brock Lesnar getting busted open, apparently the hard way. Although if he covered it, he did a very good job, a blade job. If it is truly a blade job, I really don't know to this day. It's been rumored that it was, but it looked like he got busted open the hard way. And that was when Roman Reigns slammed him into the ring post. And my God, the wrestling gods were really looking down that night, because the blood added so much to this match. Planned or not planned, it was a beautiful thing to see Brock Lesnar bleed. Not because I wanted Brock Lesnar to lose, but because it added drama when drama was needed. Blood can be very useful. It can be a great tool in the tool belt of wrestlers when it's done right and appropriately and safely. Now, You're not going to see that in the PG era. They're worried about bloodborne pathogens, obviously COVID. I mean, a bunch of, you know, among a bunch of other things, you're not going to see it on purpose. If it happens accidentally, WWE does their best to put the camera off. They'll do anything but put the camera on the individual who has the blood pouring down their face, which is such a, it sucks. It sucks because you do miss blood. Let's be honest. Most of us out there do miss blood when it's appropriate. So Brock Lesnar gets beat up the hard way. And let's take a listen to some of kind of the in mid-match antics going on. Listen to the reaction of fans and the commentary as well.
Of this, what's so amazing is Roman Reigns deserves to be here. Roman Reigns earned this spot to be in WrestleMania. Roman Reigns is the best we have to offer to go up against Brock Lesnar, and Roman Reigns is getting dominated by the Beast. I think Heyman is right. In any other generation, Roman Reigns is world champion.
Okay, so there's just a little bit of commentary. Of course, we have JBL on commentary, which, as much as I don't like, you know, what he's done in his personal life and all the bullying allegations, which have all been verified, pretty much, he's good on commentary. I gotta give JBL credit for where that's due, and he is good on commentary, to very good at times. And Brock Lesnar here, there were some good shots going in. The replay that you didn't see, with Roman Reigns kneeing Brock Lesnar in the face and Brock Lesnar coming back with a hellacious clothesline. Yow. It was, again, these guys, they pulled punches when they needed to, but my God, did they lay it in when they really, really needed to as well. So this was just, I think up to this point, probably Roman Reigns' best match to date. And Brock Lesnar, while some of us got sick of him being champion, he wasn't Goldberg. He actually can put on a lengthy match and still I think he still could. I think he still could. And this kind of gets me excited for Brock possibly returning sometime in 2021. I think there's a strong possibility. But all right, well, let's continue on here. Brock Lesnar is dominating Roman Reigns. And by the way, this is where Suplex City was born. If you've forgotten, Suplex City, B-I-T-C-H, I mean, PG podcast, but that's the line. That's where Suplex City was born. Not on purpose. It was one of those things he just said in the moment. But okay, let's take a listen to some of the other in-ring action from this match.
Of shock on the face over there, Paulus, and the look on the face of this guy right now on Brock Lesnar is just, have you seen that look before? Is he doubting himself?
It's upsetting Brock more that Roman won't quit than the fact that they just hasn't beat him yet. What's the satisfaction of Roman quitting?
The entire match, the whole match. And Roman's still in it.
Look, John Cena took an ass kicking like I've never seen before in my life, and Roman Reigns is on a par to take the exact same one.
Not that ring post. Not that ring post.
He is hurt bad.
He's wobbly. He may be knocked out.
Hold on a minute. Stop it, stop
it.
Watch Lesnar's head right into that ring post.
Okay, I'll pause it there. Brock Lesnar gets, and that's the point I was bringing up earlier. Brock Lesnar gets his head slammed into the pole. And does appear to get busted open the hard way, although there is room for potential blading. Although if he did it, he did a magnificent just just a magician job of doing it. The blood, again, is just great. The color, as they say. And the match continues. But, of course, just as we think the match is going to conclude, and we get a spear, and we get F5s and kickouts, which I had forgotten Roman Reigns kicked out of three F5s. I mean, that's what put The Undertaker down for his streak. But apparently Roman Reigns was given the authority to kick out of as many F5s as he wanted. I think that was a mistake. The fans were chanting BS on that. But, okay, let's get to the exciting part. And really where Michael Cole shined in one of the most famous lines that he's ever delivered. So let's take a listen to the conclusion of this match. Okay, wow, I forgot how good the ending of that main event is. It's so good, so good. I mean, you got a five flying everywhere, you got spears, you got, I think I counted like 10 Superman punches. I mean, it's just ridiculous how many Superman punches Roman Reigns used during that match. But, the curb stomp, you hear them calling it the curb stomp, not just the stomp, the curb stomp. So that was interesting. I know why they got rid of the curb stomp, because of what it represents, and it's been used in gangs and it's got a negative connotation. I think it's a damn good, cool move. There's a stomp I'll deal with, but I loved the curb stomp name. It's just so vicious. But we got to be watch for sponsors, of course. So I think it was a hell of a main event. I mean, Michael Cole calling it the heist of the century is forever going to be in the annals of time. Seth Rollins looks like a child. I mean, he looks so young. I know it's only 6 years ago, but man, he looks young. He's still got the blonde streak in his hair. It was one of the craziest endings to a main event ever. It certainly didn't anger the crowd. I think that they were on board for it. Seth Rollins was, up and coming, and he was the future and still is the future of WWE even 6 years later. And it was just a brilliant, beautiful moment. Perfectly done. Michael Cole in commentary, even JBL, for all of his flaws, is really good on commentary in this match. Brock Lesnar, Roman really kicked each other's asses that night. There was just effort all the way around. The blood was brilliant. The kickouts, there was a little bit too many of them. but it was a great, really well laid out match, especially considering it's the first time these two met on a stage this big and really met at all. They never had a match before that I'm aware of. So it was great all around. Really recommend you guys check out this match. And I think you'll be ready for WrestleMania when you do, and you'll be ready for fans to be back. I mean, that's probably the number one thing you notice, right? Is fans live, breathing, real human beings there to react. That is out of everything, I think we can all agree we miss the most. And WWE could bring them back. They could bring them back at WrestleMania this year. Let's all hope. So, guys, thank you for listening. I will be recording the mailbag immediately following this, so both of them will be up. And I hope you guys enjoy it. We got a big, big week to close things out here with the pay-per-view of WWE Fastlane. The Botch Guy will be joining me Sunday night immediately following the show. I'll have a co-host Saturday night to go through all the preview and predictions for Fastlane. And we have an AEW review coming tomorrow with Mimi. And, of course, you guys know the rest of the schedule. So, everybody, thank you so much for listening. As always, I'll talk to you next time.